Here's the next volunteer's story about looking for approval at her father's funeral. Does it seem extreme or quite familiar?
What did I want? It was the day of my father's funeral, and I wanted Carl to kiss me and tell me that he loved me, to forget about his wife and just be with me. I wanted him to see me as vulnerable, in pain, fragile, womanly, greatly in need of him, just yearning for him. I used my pain to try and seduce him. I tried to convey to him, "Don't reject me right now. Look how sad and fragile I am." I exaggerated my grief. We were coming back from the cemetery, and he gave me 3 poems. I actually felt quite at peace then in the car as I displayed for him the pain, the tears, and the sadness I had suffered in the last week. Did I listen to him? I wasn't really listening to him. I didn't really care about the beautiful poems he gave me or how compassionate his eyes were or even how much he was actually supporting me. I just wanted him to do what I wanted him to do. Hug me right now. Kiss me right now. Tell me you will leave everything for me. Did I win his love? In the end, I did get hugs and kisses, but they were forced. I felt that I stole them from him. It was sad. I felt like a man. I hated myself for using the pain of my father's death to manipulate love. I felt low, pathetic, and desperate, and I was ashamed of my desperation. Can I think of a time when I resisted seeking love from that person? 6 months ago, I sent him an email to warn him that I would be at an event where he would be with his wife. It was just love, with no motive beyond it, just my concern about something I knew could surprise or hurt him. How did I feel? Clean, and so much closer to him than when my every word was a confidence trick.
When you say or do anything to please, get, keep, influence, or control anyone or anything, fear is the cause and pain is the result. Manipulation is separation, and separation is painful. Another person can love you totally in that moment, and you'd have no way of realizing it. If you act from fear, there's no way you can receive love because you're trapped in a thought about what you have to do for love. Every stressful thought separates you from people. But once you question your thoughts, you discover that you don't have to do anything for love. It was all an innocent misunderstanding. When you want to impress people and win their approval, you're like a child who says, "Look at me, look at me." It all comes down to a needy child. When you can love that child and embrace it yourself, the seeking is over. Exercise, getting dressed to kill. Imagine a situation where you want to wear your best clothes or buy a new outfit, all the way up to wanting a complete makeover. Picture yourself getting dressed for the big meeting or date, and as you put on each of your key items of clothing, you know which ones they are, your new blouse, your favorite tie, your silk underwear. Ask yourself about the job you want it to do. With this blouse, I want you to think that. Fill in the blank with what you want someone to think, say, or do. Even your socks have an interesting story to tell. Take a look at the parts of your preparation that are designed to cover up or conceal anything, signs of aging, extra weight, and so on. I am hiding or disguising this so that you won't think that. Or so that you will think that. Now determine exactly what you don't want someone to think and do. Ask yourself what's the best that can happen if your outfit does its job, and the worst that can happen if it fails. Some of what you notice may seem ridiculous, and you may resist going on with the exercise. That's a good sign. There's a lot of silliness in the search for approval. Do you really believe any of the thoughts you noticed? How much stress and effort do you feel when you're dressing to kill? Imagine getting dressed without any of those stressful thoughts. Who would you be without the thought that you need to make a particular impression? Pretending to be interested. If you haven't questioned the belief that it's possible to win people over and your manipulative charm doesn't seem to be working, you'll think that there's something wrong either with you or with your technique, or with both. You may buy one of hundreds of self-help books that teach you how to market yourself. For instance, the multi-million copy best-selling classic, How to Make Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. The author's main suggestion is to make yourself interested in people because, he says, that's guaranteed to win them over. If you find it difficult to do that, he has an alternative recommendation. Pretend to be interested. How is that done? Smile, remember the names of their children and dogs, write down their birthdays in your organizer so you can send everyone cards and also pretend to agree with what they say. It's all about impression management. Carnegie didn't stop to ask whether fake interest can win real friendship because his objective was different. He was teaching a sales technique, and it caught on. You meet the results everywhere. People give you big business smiles and you wonder what they want. Companies have employees stand outside their chain stores to greet you as if they know you. Cashiers read your name off your credit card and say, "Thank you, Mrs. Smith." When someone pretends to be interested in you, do you smile back and pretend to be flattered? Most people cheerily carry on with the play acting, and there's no problem unless you begin to think there's any real approval in this behavior. This isn't friendship. It mimics friendship to get people to do what someone wants. That kind of deception may sell insurance, but what happens when it enters the realms of friendship and your love life? Let's take a look.